Have you ever stopped to think about the gifts that we exchange every day with one another? The gifts that we exchange when we interact throughout the day, in a day in a life, or in a single interaction with another being. It's pretty profound when we slow down enough to pay attention to that. I just experienced it. I thought, well, I should practice what I preach, right? I preached at 9:30. Well, preached, you know, right? Shared a message and put it into practice. And I can tell you from that experience just now that I had, what came from it was far more attention to the texture of the song, to the layers of the music, to the person who was singing it, to her saying, this is one of my favorite songs. So I was like, oh, pay attention. Carol's sharing a piece of her soul. See? Yeah. So there's like that kind of depth and layers that we open to when we intentionally say, I'm paying attention. Yeah, that's it, really. Done. But, you know, if you think about the amount of information, first of all, that we take in a day that comes at us or that we generate or that we experience or that we exchange with, I have lost track with what the scientists say our brains process now versus what we processed decades ago, but it's a lot. It's a big difference. So there's a lot of information, but if you think about every interaction, there's information that's exchanged. There's an opportunity for spiritual growth exchanged. There's an opportunity to learn something. I mean, there's so much that happens, that could happen, that is potentially there for us in all these interactions. And if we recognize what's possible to provide one another and to receive from one another, it really puts us in a state of wonder. So last year, Brenly and I went to Costa Rica, and we were, you know, vacationing. So when you're in that kind of vacation mind, spacious mind, sometimes that does open you up kind of already to more presence, right? I don't know about you, but that definitely is true for me to a degree. You know, there's just not as much do this, well, unless you fill your vacation with do this, do that, you know. But I like to have spaciousness when I'm on vacation. And so we were one night at a beachfront restaurant, and this very mysterious, like it seemed like the moon and moonlight, I'd never seen anything other than that look like that across the water, yet it wasn't the moon. And so it sat there for maybe 10 minutes, sat still, and then it very slowly moved across the sky. And we were both just looking at it going, what is that? It's too big for a star. It's not the moon. It's not acting like an airplane. I've never seen an airplane send light like that. It seems too close to be a satellite. So we just were just wondering and wondering about what this could be. You know, to us anyway, was an unidentified aerial phenomenon. I don't know if the scientists would say that. So our server comes up, Samuel, and we say, hey, Samuel, what was that? We just saw this light, and he said, oh, it's an airplane. He said, there's an airport nearby. And we said, it didn't seem like an airplane, didn't move like an airplane, didn't look like an airplane, it made no sound. But then the conversation quickly changed because he noticed the binoculars that were sitting on the table next to us, and he started to tell us about his dreams. He said, and we knew from meeting some of the people in the area that it was common, like in Samuel's case and his coworker's case, to work 6 days a week, about 10 hours a day. Yeah. And so he was been working really hard, and he was saving. He was saving because he wanted to go to America, where his cousin lived in Texas. He felt like he could make more money there, and he get to explore America. And he said, "And I'm saving up for a pair of those." He said, "I want to hike and explore in America." I mean, he was just, you know, kind of that wide-eyed, I don't know, do you remember 20-something? The world is your oyster. The possibilities are endless. What will I do with my life? Who will I meet? Will I have a family? What will I do with my career? That's how I felt anyway. I don't know if you felt that way. But it was like, and I was so interested in everything. And so, you know, I just could feel for Samuel and his, like, you know, the possibilities that were in him and the dream that was in him. So this is just a beautiful exchange. And then Brenly, in this very spontaneous act of generosity, handed him her binoculars. So then he went and got his manager, and we thought, well, what's going on here? We didn't even think of this, but he had to bring over his manager to say, so she could say, that's a gift. He didn't steal them. So it's like, wow, there was so much to process in this one evening in these exchanges. And so we walked home to our hotel along the beach, just both kind of in this state of wonder of being in a foreign land and meeting this young man and his dreams and this mysterious light across the water, natural phenomena. And so it's that kind of space that we can be in, not just on vacation, but in our everyday interactions, if we intend it, if we open our awareness to it. And that's the invitation today for us. So how do you show up? Are you aware of how you are when you are in an interchange with someone? Are you aware of how you show up in conversation? Are you looking at the person when they're speaking? Or are you looking off, sort of doing something else as well? Are you thinking about something else? Or are you present to what's being said? Are you doing something else? You know, our culture gives us a lot of support for this, as if it's some sort of badge of honor to, quote unquote, multitask, which in my understanding is just a split attention. What's that? Serial unitasking might work better, yeah. So, but we know one of our key teachings in our spiritual teachings is presence, right? Presence to the divine presence. And so being present to the presence allows us to open to the gift that is being given to us and the gift that we are giving, because I'm going to put out there that every interaction provides an exchange of gifts, some way, somehow. So are you attuned to the energetic that's happening, to the feelings that you might be feeling during a conversation, maybe even sensing what the other person is feeling, the spiritual energy that is happening around and through you? Remember what Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am. There is the divine presence, exponentially present, even palpable at times if we slow down enough. When you're in conversation with somebody, are you paying attention to the nonverbal things that are going on as well as the verbal things that are happening? And do you, after you have had an exchange and walked away, do you reflect upon what just happened? What possible gifts were just exchanged? What did I just experience? How did I show up? Would I like to show up differently? Will I show up differently next time? And that's not meant to start to be critical of ourselves or any of that. It's just that constant growth opportunity that we look at and that we see and that we become committed to. So we're constantly offered gifts for spiritual growth, for evolution. Spirit is here in us, in the other, or the others, whoever we're exchanging with. I mean, right now, in the house, right? We are having this experience. We are having an interchange. Right now, I'm the only one speaking, but that doesn't mean lots of communication isn't happening in the room, right? So to be aware of that, what all is happening in the room? What is happening inside of me? What is happening around me? What are we creating here? Why are we doing this? Why did you come today? You know, it was an effort. It was a deliberate choice. I'm so glad you did, by the way. Thank you for being here, and those outside and those online who tuned in. You all carved out some space and time to be here because you perceived that some kind of gift was going to be exchanged. Whether you know exactly what it is or not, I guess it remains to be seen. But how will we be here together with one another? So for the, you know, there's so many things, right? The visible, the audible, that is available to us through spirit being present in our interactions. And as we speak of all this, and the introverts in the room might be like, oh no, I'm not going to ramp up my you know, exchanges and my social interactions, right? Anybody feeling that sort of wiggle? You know, and so as an introvert, and I'm amongst them, I can say that, you know, part of what this is about is not necessarily just having more or friendlier exchanges. It's about what happens inside. And that speaks, introvert speak, doesn't it? What's going on in the inner world during this exchange, you know? And so to allow ourselves to move into that and to gain energy, to bring forth energy in that way as well. And the good news for all of us is if you find verbal communication a little bit tiresome, you know, our future is full of telepathy. So soon there will not be much verbal communication, so they say, about our ongoing evolution. And there's already a lot of telepathy, but apparently there's going to be more of that in our communications. So as we think about these exchanges, of course, they're not only limited to human exchange. We have, for starters, a whole plant and animal kingdom available to us to always be in communication with as well. Recently, I sat down against a tree on a hike and just decided to stay for a while, and I started to pray out loud, and just as I began to speak, a great horned owl swooped through and landed on a branch across from me. It was a little ways, like, you know, maybe to that door and another, or half a door. Anyway, it was a ways away, but close enough that I could really see the expression of the owl and the movements of the owl. And sometimes the owl looked right at me, and sometimes it looked left or right. Sometimes it even closed its eyes. Sometimes it fluffed a wing. So there was just this thing happening. I don't know what was happening exactly. I was, you know, in the mystery, as we often are when owl comes nearby. And so as I got up to leave, I looked down at the ground for a minute to push up, and then it was about 40 minutes I'd been there, and I looked up, and the owl was gone. I didn't hear it fly away. I didn't see it fly away. It's just like it came to be an audience, it seemed. Now, that's, of course, my projection. I don't know. Maybe it was like, why'd you come into my space, you know? And then you got up and left. I don't know exactly what was happening there. But, you know, owl medicine, Native Americans, many indigenous traditions talk about animals as bringing medicine to us when they cross our paths, when they come into our lives, especially if they come repeatedly. And here at Unity, owl medicine is a big deal because we have these great horned owls that live on the land. They come back and forth between E.B. Mudd and our property and the neighbors. But they've had owlettes here, and, you know, we have a thing with the owl. So it's like interesting to look at what is this owl medicine. Different, you know, nations have different perspectives, but the summary, at least the one that I got from Animal Speak by Ted Andrews, is that the owl represents mystery and magic, omens, silent wisdom, night vision, the feminine, the moon, clairvoyance, clairaudience, and the ability to extract secrets. Ooh, pretty cool, huh? Had I met the little boy in the next story, I might have been more aware of what the gifts were that I exchanged with the owl. I aspire to be like this little boy one day. This boy loved to walk in the woods. And one day, he was on one of those walks in the woods, and he came across an owl. It was a beautiful white owl, and its leg was caught in a branch. The owl said to the boy, "Boy, my leg is caught in a branch. If you will free my leg, I will give you a gift." The boy said, "Owl, I will gladly free your leg." So the boy released the owl's leg from the branch, and he continued on his walk. Next, he came across a cow, and he said, "Hi, cow." And the cow said, "Hi, how are you today, boy?" And he said, "Well, owl asked me to free his leg from a branch and gave me a great gift. I think the owl gave me the gift of communicating with animals." And the cow said, "Wait, didn't you say that the owl asked you to free its leg from the branch?" And with that, the boy flew away. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, we're good at that New Thought, aren't we? That's our co-creative principle. Anything is possible. As Emily Dickinson, maybe a pre-New Thought author, said, "I dwell in possibility. I dwell in possibility." And so if we dwell in possibility, then we dwell in wonder, we dwell in awe, we dwell in joy, we dwell in delight, we dwell in a childlike mindset that says that I'm curious about the world around me, I'm interested in you, I want to know you, I want to know myself, that this interaction has magic and mystery and possibility in it that I am paying attention to now. In a way, maybe I never paid attention before. So in our interactions then, as we recognize this elixir that interactions can be to opening ourselves to the seemingly impossible, to opening ourselves to spiritual growth perhaps, to opening ourselves to evolve, because we recognize we do not really evolve or spiritually grow in a vacuum, do we? I remember hearing this dialogue between these two people where this woman said, "Nature is my church." And I could agree with her. And I thought, yeah, nature's my church too. And then this other person says, "Yeah, but who's holding you accountable? Like, who's putting your feet to the fire if you're not in community with people? If you're not bumping up against people and rubbing up against people and working your relationships, how are you really spiritually growing?" So it was an interesting dialogue. It was an interesting thought, right? To consider that we're in relationship with all of it, and like it or not, other human beings, right? So how do we show up then? How do we? And what does the boy show us about how to show up so that we can really reveal what are the gifts that we are exchanging in any given interaction? Well, the first thing the boy does is he does what he loves to do. He loves to walk in the woods, so he goes for a walk in the woods. Now, I know this sounds incredibly simple, but how many of you love to do things you never do or very rarely do? Yeah, a lot of us. Look around. And so the boy is showing us, if you love to do something, do it. Do it. It brings you joy. It brings you opportunity. It brings you possibility because you are a unique soul expression on this planet. And you are wired to love certain things, to do certain things for certain reasons. And so if you just keep pushing those aside and doing what you think society or your family or your spouse or your children, or you know, it gets overwhelming, doesn't it, if you're living for everybody else. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that we must live for our own souls because we are in much better to everyone around us when we do. So the boy took a walk in the woods because he loves to walk in the woods. The second thing he did was, it was his demeanor too, how he walked in the woods, right? He walked in a very open and present way, it seems. It seems like he was available to meet whoever he met along the way, that he was on a journey of just openness and curiosity. How often do we walk through life? Because life is the spiritual journey, right? Every walk we take, every movement we make, well, we're literally walking or moving in some other way, that as we move about the earth, we are on our spiritual journey. The spiritual journey doesn't just happen when you're meditating or praying or at Unity or in a class or reading a spiritual book, right? We know this. It's like everything, all life, all possibility, all is here as spiritual experience. And so our journey, our walk is how do we show up? Do we show up open? Do we show up available? Do we show up looking, paying attention to the gifts that are given to us? And then he meets the owl in a very common type of human interaction, right? The owl needs help. The owl offers an exchange. If you help me, I'll help you. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, right? We humans are always doing that. Sometimes it doesn't have to be an exchange. It's just, I need help, and so you help. And the exchange is maybe a thank you or a gift of gratitude, perhaps. So there's so many different, or the exchange is just the joy we feel of being in service. So sometimes what we receive is hidden, and what we give is hidden, and sometimes it's quite obvious. What gifts do you give during your interactions? Maybe you give attention. Maybe you're a really good listener. Maybe you're attuned to your intuition. Perhaps you're somebody who's very compassionate. Maybe you're somebody who inspires others, likes to share your knowledge, perhaps, or likes to share your feelings and your experience and your heart with another person. You have certain ways of showing up, and every interaction is a unique experience. A unique experience to open up to maybe a new way of being, a new way of understanding, or to share your usual ways of being. We don't always know what we've given or what we've received. But how did the boy know? How did the boy know that the owl had given him the gift of flight? You know, one of the things he did was he didn't demand his gift. Did you notice that? He just freed the owl's leg and he moved on. He didn't say, okay, now give me my gift, pay up. You know, that wasn't the attitude with which he did anything. It seemed like he walked with kind of a wonderment and a trust. Oh, yeah, the owl said he'd give me a gift. Wonder what the owl's going to give. And so he wonders out loud with the cow. And of course, the cow points out, after the boy has walked with this attitude of wonder and now is wandering in another exchange, the cow points out that his gift of animal communication has already been mastered. And then there's no need for anything verbal. He just fully receives the gift and embodies it and flies away. So how do we do this? You may or may not learn to talk to animals or to fly. You may, I don't know. But however, you might learn something new about yourself. You might heal an old belief. You might make a new friend, or you may deepen an existing relationship or enhance the intimacy in that relationship. You might learn a new piece of information. You might personally grow. You might improve your communication skills. You might expand into what is possible or walk away in wonder. Then those are just a few of the things that might happen. And these are a few of the ways that we may reveal the gifts of our interaction. One is to really stay present, present to the presence, giving your full attention to the being you are interacting with and what's going on inside of you, listening with your heart to what is being said and what isn't being said, and feeling and sensing both the feelings that you might be having, the emotions that might be present for you, maybe sensing what the other might be feeling, and being sensitive to the spiritual energy that's going on. How does it feel? What is happening here? What is opening here? What is moving here? And then wonder, 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 allowing ourselves the spaciousness to dance in the mystery of life, to dance in the mystery of spirit, to recognize the divine that is present in the beings that we are interacting with, including ourselves. Spirit often reveals our hidden capabilities through these interactions. If we are paying attention, we'll know what they are. So who knows what will happen as you become more carefully attentive in your interactions? You may fly or something better. But in this new year, I hope that we will all intend to be more attentive to all that is happening through us and as us and with one another. There's much to be gained through this kind of attention. Let's affirm it together. I intend to be attentive to the gifts in my daily interactions. So it is.